One of the highlights that the Campbell family have experienced this summer is we went to see the movie The Lion King. Now, who has seen The Lion King? Oh, I am shocked. You've got to go see this wonderful movie. It's one we've loved for years. We loved the cartoon version, and so we were curious to see this next version. And right at the start of the story, you probably know how this story goes. This young lion called Simba, one day he's going to be king, but he has a long journey to get there. And right at the beginning of the movie, there's this beautiful scene where Mufasa, the Lion King, brings Simba up to this high mountain. And he says these words.
Look, Simba.
Don't know if I can keep that one up, but I thought we'd start with it.
Look, Simba.
Everything the light touches is your kingdom. And one day, Simba, the sun will set on my time here, and it will rise on you as the new king. And Simba is blown away by the thought that everything that the light is touching is part of his kingdom. But there's one problem in the story. It's not Mufasa, it's not Simba, but it's Mufasa's brother Scar, who is so jealous of this little baby lion cub, Simba, because he wanted to be king. Scar thought he was entitled to take the kingdom. And over time, you can see Scar's jealousy growing. And he prowls around in his dark cave, plotting and scheming, thinking of how he can get rid of Simba. And you know, jealousy is something that happens when you think, the sun is shining over here, but I'm in the darkness. The same thing goes on in Acts chapter 17. Paul and Silas, you remember last week, they had been freed from the torture chamber that was Philippi. You would think they would go off to a safe Christian place and enclose themselves in safety, but they don't. They go to the next city, to the biggest city in Macedonia, to Thessalonica, because this is their strategic witness. They want to minister to the largest cities so that the word of God can seep out into smaller places. And they came to do what Mufasa did that day with Simba, to pronounce the kingdom of God over the entire city, that this Jesus Christ, who suffered under Pontius Pilate and was raised from the dead, is now king. And Paul and Silas, they play by the rules. They go to the synagogue first, to the Jews, the people who you think should know the word of God and understand from the Bible who the Messiah is. But verse 4 tells us the reality that it's only a few Jews who believe, but the rest who believe are Gentiles, these God-fearing Greeks and a few prominent women. And that's where the trouble starts, because the Jews are jealous. There's no other word for it. They see the sun rising on a people that's not them, on another place. Perhaps they were jealous because God should come on them and move in them, not in these unlikely places and in these unlikely people. Perhaps it was also to do with money, that these prominent Greek influential women who were upper class, maybe they were jealous that they were going to take money away from the synagogue and give it to this new movement. And you see, jealousy stems from fear, doesn't it? Fear of losing something, whether it's your institution, whether it's your identity. We all suffer from jealousy, don't we? And it's interesting, jealousy is never about being jealous of something big, a big celebrity or a big movie star, but it often stems from the person next door, people like us. Someone else's research project gets awarded a huge grant and yours doesn't. The organization next door is growing and yours isn't. The family down the street seem perfect and yours doesn't. Kierkegaard, in his book Sickness Unto Death, says, jealousy or envy is this small town sin, a byproduct of living so close to a set of other people that one is constantly tempted to make leveling comparisons. We would never do that in our denomination, would we? So the Jews were here in this big city, Macedonia, but they were living with a small town mindset. And they tried to claim truth to mask their prejudice. They say to the city officials, look at these men, they've come to turn our world upside down. They're defying Caesar by saying there's a different type of king called Jesus. Well, that was all true. Jesus did come to turn the world upside down. He was a totally different type of king. But after they speak the truth, they round up some of the worst characters in the city to drive Paul and Silas out forever. And too often in our jealousy, we mask prejudicial actions with the truth. We're only wanting to protect ourselves. We want to bring up our children in a safe way. These people speak a different way. They don't belong here. And the irony of being jealous is that we see this sun rising, but rather than let it rise on us, we become inward and enclosed, and we analyze what went wrong here. And we develop a posture that looks to the past rather than embraces the future. So if I'm describing you, if there's just a little bit of jealousy at work in your life, how do we get to a place where we see God's word rising up in unlikely places? How do we get there? Well, two things. First of all, be generous, not jealous. But secondly, be sharers, not sellers. Be generous, not jealous. Be sharers, not sellers. First of all, be generous. So often my prayer is, come down, Lord. I want to see you here. I want to see you work in COS and Church of the Servant. Come here, Lord. But sometimes I think God is saying, Karen, I'm over here. I'm in Grand Rapids. Just open your eyes to see it. Because the sun is shining freely on this city. And God is at work in this city. Sometimes we just need to open our eyes to see it. And Paul and Silas had this vision that was going to break out of the synagogue walls and transform an entire city. If they had just listened to the religious Jews, they would have stopped planting altogether, but they kept on sowing the gospel seed so freely, so generously. And when they got kicked out, they started all over again in the next city. And what can we learn from Paul's mission? Well, from this trio of city visits, from Philippi to Thessalonica to Berea, Paul just kept generously sowing the word, sending it out, because the kingdom of God is big. You can't contain it in the church walls. But when you're jealous, you don't have room to see that. Henry Nouwen said this about jealousy. When our hearts are filled with worry and fear and prejudice, there's no room for the stranger. Real ministers are powerless servants who offer the gift of availability and hospitality. What would happen if you left this church this morning realizing God is calling you to be a light in the city? Has your vision got too small? What transformation would happen if you consciously laid down the sin of jealousy and instead prayed, Lord, make me like the Berean people who were characterized by being generous, open-minded, receiving God's word daily? That's how I want to be. How would it change? When I was a minister in Kilbride, I felt it was important to every week meet up with a group of non-Christians because talking with them about basic Christianity kept me on my toes. And I think I needed it more than they did. Because what it showed me was I could never predict or even fully understand how God's word would come to life in a person. Sometimes I was prejudiced and would make rash judgments about who would make it and who didn't. And I needed that group to keep me alive to seeing fresh ways in which God was moving. In one of our last groups, there was a young dad who was brought up in a very rough environment. But after studying God's word, seeing it open to him, he said, you know, there was a time in my life where I was very close to joining the paramilitaries. In fact, the gang had already set up the night that they were going to take me and swear me in. But on that night, rather than get on the train to go and meet them, I felt a pull away. And I now believe that was God in my life saving me, stopping me from going down the wrong road. Unlikely places, but God is at work if we have this posture of generosity rather than jealousy. That's the first thing. But the second thing is to share, not sell it. One of the keys to getting past jealousy is to simply to share it, to join in. Verse 4 says that along with Silas and Paul, there were Greeks who joined, who shared in the body. One of the traps I think we fall into is trying to sell it rather than share it. I wonder, do you use Craigslist? Marketplace at Facebook? Or maybe some of you have been trying to sell your house recently. Now, what do you do to get something ready to be sold? You clean it up. You paint it. You make it look so fresh and ready so that it's attractive to be sold. And it's a lot of work, isn't it? And I wonder if we do the same with our faith. We think to ourselves, I can only present my faith when it's in the best shape possible, when I've all the answers. And our secret fear is that if people see us as we really are, with all our weaknesses, our imperfections, family brokenness, they might say, is this how God works? But God calls us not to sell, but to share the good news. How do you share the bread? You have to break it open to give it away. You don't need to have it all together. In fact, the whole point is it must be broken in order to give it away. And when we think about this precious kingdom, God's kingdom, and how it was built, it's not like the other kingdoms that are built through weapons of war and violence and guns. But when the Son of God came to claim his kingdom, it wasn't through violence, but it was allowing violence to be done in his body that was broken for us. And we're all broken people. That's the reality. We're called to build the kingdom Jesus broke with his body and share it. He didn't try to sell it. He simply poured out his love, calling us to share. And Jason too came and shared in the suffering. That's our calling, to share in the suffering of Jesus. We've been living, as you know, in Grand Rapids for over a year now, but most weeks I find I'll say a word and people will look at me strangely and go, "What was that? What do you mean?" So this week I was on the phone trying to just give cell phone number, something so straightforward, and I came to that digit, number 8, and I said, 8, 8, and I just couldn't get there. I just couldn't get there. They could not understand what this 8 was all about. But I've learned that sometimes your difference is the place where God will use you most. God can use our difference to invite people to make this connection to his generous kingdom. So a few weeks ago, we'd just come back from Ireland, went straight to World Market to buy some good British food, and things I was already missing. I was at the cashier desk. There were two people standing. And I exchanged a few words with them, and I could hear they were interested in this accent. And so they said, "That's a beautiful accent." I said, "Thank you. Where are you from?" "From Ireland." It was all very nice, all very pleasant. And then they asked, "What brought you here?" That's when the game is on. And I told them about Church of the Servant. I told them about being called and the wonderful journey that we'd been on together, bringing us here, and how remarkable it was, and how remarkable this church is in reaching out. And I could tell these two people were interested because the girl got out her phone and she was Googling this place. She wanted to find out more, all because of a strange-sounding accent. But this is the place. This is the place where we say to each other, "Your accent actually doesn't matter because you belong in Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter if English is your first, second, or third language. You have a place here because God, by his generous grace, allows us into this family." And some of you, young people, will be returning to school, and people will mock you for the accent or for the way you speak. But you belong here. You have a place here so that you can be confident about going to your school and saying, "You know what? God called me here. God called me to take the good news beyond the church walls out into the city, whether it's in the school, whether it's in your workplace, whether it's in your family. It doesn't matter." And we've been running up and down to Camelot Park over the summer to the Meet Up, Eat Up. It's been a good opportunity to get to know so many of the young people there. And there was a young girl I met this week, so fearful about going back to school, so fearful about what change in teacher she was going to have. And I came to understand the fear more when I said, "Well, who's in your family?" And she said, "I've many, many brothers and sisters. We've so many, we have to move houses because we don't fit in." And we talked through how not to be fearful. We talked through how God wants to bring the best out of you in your education. And that's why yesterday in Camelot Park, this church went to the block party with 160 school bags filled with all kinds of school materials, because we want to say to our community, it doesn't matter if your life story has been difficult. We're committed to helping you flourish in whatever way we can. We want to see you flourish. And if there's anything to get from Acts, it's not the book about thoughts, it's the book about acts. God wants to entrust us with more, but the disappointment to him is often we settle for less. Paul never went back to Thessalonica. But that didn't stop him. He kept pouring himself out. He kept telling them about this vision of how big the kingdom was. Letters that it was going to be bigger than the earthly kingdom. Letters that talked about the new heaven and the new earth. Letters that talked about how the sun rises on this kingdom, shining on all. So my question to you today is, how can you participate in sharing the kingdom? Not selling it, but sharing it. I want you to spend a moment letting go of jealous thoughts. Any pretensions of not being good enough or perfect enough. And ask God, what part can I play? How can I participate in this generous kingdom of grace? Listen to some of the words Paul wrote to the people in Thessalonica. The news of your faith in God is out. May the Master pour on the love so it fills your lives and splashes over on everyone around you, just as it does from us to you. May this love splash out on everyone around you.